Our next case this morning, Luth versus Lashley. Council ready?
Yes.
Mr. Lurish, you may approach. Again, this is Luth versus Lashley.
Good morning, Your Honors.
Good morning.
I would ask to reserve 2 minutes of my time for rebuttal. I do represent the appellants, Dana and Jeff Luth. And first, let me say that there are very few facts in this case that are actually in dispute. We do believe that those facts support clearly a promissory estoppel cause of action. That is, that Mrs. Lashley promised on a number of occasions, the Luths, that they would ultimately inherit their property, and that those promises constitute or could reasonably be expected to for the Luths to take some action or forbearance of an action. Secondly, the Luths did in fact rely on those promises and take some action, in this instance to their detriment. And third, that the only way of justice would be to enforce those promises. And frankly, each of the elements of promissory estoppel were contained in Norma Lashley's direct testimony. And early in the 2000s, and this was when the Luths took over the farming operation for Lashley, they were paying rent, and Mrs. Lashley promised that they would get 80% of the rent they paid on a yearly basis applied as equity for the farm when they ultimately purchased it, or upon her death when it was sold. And that was reduced to writing in 2008 by Norma Lashley and the Luths. And that was followed in then until 2014, when Lashley met with her attorneys and her children, and basically decided that at that point in time it was no longer necessary, or she no longer planned to sell the property to Luce, that she would ultimately give the property to them, and that they would start paying farm expenses. They were no longer tenants at that point in time, and they were expected to pay some property or farm expenses. And those farm expenses include loan amounts for the mortgages that Ms. Lashley had on her properties. They included taxes, insurance, they built buildings, they built corrals and fences. Basically, Norma Lashley told them to begin using or treating the property as their own.
Mr. Lurish, is promissory estoppel assigned as an error in your brief?
Promissory estoppel is claimed that the courts, not an error because it's an equitable action,
No, my question is to us,
yes,
in your brief, did you assign promissory estoppel? Your theory of promissory estoppel is error.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir. I did, and we alleged that the court failed to follow the facts and the law in this case, and that in an equitable action, it's de novo on the record, and that's what we would ask this court to review on. I urge the court to review page 3 of Exhibit 50, which Mr. Don Moore testified from the Central Bank. And he notes in that case, and basically he's talking about the history the bank had with both Lashley and the Luths. And he notes in that Lashley at that point in time encouraged the bank to extend credit to the Luths, that Lashley encouraged the bank to actually apply the expenses paid to credit so that there were the debt credit ratio or debt equity ratio would be supportive of loans, further loans by the bank to Luths. Lashley pledged her property to help secure Luce debt in a couple of hypothecation agreements and promised to stand behind them. And all those were noted in the summary by Mr. Moore and as late as 2018. The trial court concluded that since not every penny of the farm expenses were paid over the years, it was a breach of contract by the Lashleys, by the Luce, not Lashley, that the payments were made were simply rental payments, even though there was no indication or explanation for that conclusion by the trial court. And apparently that Luce had failed to prove promissory estoppel without saying which, if any, elements of promissory estoppel were missing. Those conclusions contradict even the testimony of Mrs. Lashley. In her testimony on page 26, she said, I said you don't have to pay me. They said they don't have the money. I said you don't have to pay me. And then as late as 2017 and 18, she again signed apothecation agreements, pledging her property in support of her promises to give the Luths her property upon her death.
So all of the promises are just promises to give away the land?
There are promises that she could reasonably expect the Luths to follow through with, because at that point in time, the Luths were paying all of her expenses, or the vast majority of them. They were operating the farm as their own. They were stewards of the property. They maintained, they were paying on the mortgages that she owned. They were not tenants. They were actually building a dream, basically, for them. And they were relying on the promises that Mrs. Lashley...
So what does the $200,000 alleged to be embezzled by the daughter from the mom's business, how does that factor into all these promises and agreements?
Well, I don't think it factors in, and for two reasons. Number one, it involved a BSB construction, which was not a party to this lawsuit. It was a settlement prior to the conclusion of this lawsuit, where basically they paid it back. It was settled. There was provisions in that document, in the settlement document, that said it wouldn't be used in any way against any claims that Lashley or Luce had against the other. It was an entity that was not a party to this lawsuit, and it was paid back. And I don't think it's either material or relevant to the proceedings at this point in time.
Well, even if we just stick with just this agreement, a series of agreements that took place, and we're saying this is a promise to give away. I mean, wasn't there evidence of almost constant failure by the Luths to pay what they said they would pay?
Our position in this case is that in 2014, the 2008 agreement in effect was nullified or voided. That agreement with regards to them paying rent. And it was nullified and voided because at that point in time they no longer were going to have to be expected to purchase the property. They were going to be given it. If you look closely at the 2018 document, and you look at the origin, it arose in March of 2018, immediately following an email from the bank that basically said, you know, we're in the process of loaning additional money to the Luths based on their equity debt ratio. They don't show enough equity in the property. We need to verify that you, Ms. Lashley, indeed are going to give the property to the Luths. The next day that agreement came out, or that document came out, that Lashley said, yes, they're going to get it. And if you look closely at that document, it doesn't say anything about past payments or future payments by Luce. It says they are currently paying farm expenses. There's no promises in there by the Luce that they're going to pay every dime. There's no promises. There's no contractual arrangement. It is our position that that's not a contract. That was simply a response to the bank so that the bank would continue to loan the Luce the money.
Would it be fair to say that from 2008 to 2014, there was some performance by the Luce, but I don't know that it qualified or rose to the level of substantial performance?
If our claim was based solely on a contractual breach by Lashley's, then at that point in time, I guess one could say, yeah, maybe it was just a ruse. Maybe Lashley just was saying, I'm going to promise to give you so that all of her expenses would be paid. But we believe that there were a substantial amount of payment on that during the course of those years between 14 and 18. And I think we can confirm that by the fact that Lashley keeps hypothecating her agreements, signing these agreements, promising that they're going to get the property. If she didn't intend to give it at that point in time, she should have told him that. They could have made some different changes with regards to their own property and quit paying on her loans.
During the course of all these agreements, were the Luths getting any benefit?
Certainly. But as the court concluded, if the benefit is given and it's not expected any payback, and certainly Lashley didn't expect any payback. As a matter of fact, during the course of discovery in this case, when I was in the process of asking her, do they owe you anything did they not pay any farm expenses? This was at her deposition. She didn't know how much. She had no indication of how much they owed or what she thought they owed, and it's because she didn't care at that point. She didn't care because at that point she still intended to give them the property up until she threw them off the property in 2018 or 19.
And how old was she at that time?
How old
was Mrs. Lashley?
I think she was in her 70s.
What benefit was she getting out of this deal?
Ms. Lashley? Well, she was getting all of her farm expenses, or the vast majority of her farm expenses, including her mortgages, taxes, insurance, the stewards of the property, they were maintaining all of the farm property. She was getting all of that for those years. I guess we've added all that up, and the bank was calculating it, and there was certainly no reason for the bank to, for Luth to fabricate any of that at that point in time when the bank was calculating it as well, because they still believed they were going to get the property, and the bank added them up $600,000.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anything else?
No, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Lurz. Good morning, Mr. Martin.
Good morning. May it please the court. I'm here along with Kelly Kentek on behalf of Norma Lashley and Lashley Properties, LLC. To take the Luth's argument to its logical conclusion, they would like unfettered access to Norma Lashley, Lashley Properties, cropland and farmland from 2004 to 2020. They want to pay absolutely nothing for it, and they want all the income that they derived from that land to stay in their pockets. To say that there was substantial injustice here by refusing to pay the Lashleys back or the Luths back all the money that they think they're claiming is simply incorrect. The substantial injustice here would be to require Norma Lashley to give money back that really did substantiate rent for the property and require Norma Lashley to pay the Luth's own indebtedness. Part of the record indicates that shortly before trial, First Central Bank of McCook issued Norma Lashley, Lashley Properties, a demand for $1.3 million of the Luth's indebtedness. The trial court got it absolutely right in determining that there was no breach of contract, that they were not entitled to a promissory estoppel, because equity certainly didn't support their position.
What happened in, well, let me start. Would you agree that between 2008 and 2014, there was some performance, but probably not substantial performance?
Yes, and we have included that in our brief at page 15. We've actually set forth the amounts paid versus the amounts owed, and there was some performance. But let's be clear about that 2004-2012 time frame, where it was, all right, we're going to pay $20,000 a month. There's no indication as to how many acres that's going to allow them access to. But regardless, they're going to pay $20,000 a month. 80% of that.
A month or year?
A year. You're right. Thank you. $20,000 per year. 80% of that would be applied to a future purchase. Okay. Where's this future purchase? Have the Luths come forward and said, by the way, we'd like to purchase the North 40 and we want to apply 80% of what you've received over this amount of time? Absolutely not. We now know, likely because they couldn't obtain financing without Norma Lashley's support, but they never came forward and said 80% of the funds that we paid over this time frame, we should be able to use for a future purchase. There has been no demand. There has been no claim for that. So yes, there has been some performance, but there hasn't been a breach either.
So then let's talk about 2014 to 2018. There was some performance, but not, would you say, substantial performance during that time?
Absolutely not. So there was no substantial performance ever under these agreements. And therein lies the problem. Mr. Lord says, well, Mrs. Lashley never wanted the money. She never knew what was owed. Look at the record here. Look at the pleadings in particular. Norma Lashley's daughter and son-in-law sued her for $600,000. She didn't file a counterclaim for breach of contract seeking the amounts unpaid under the agreement. Norma Lashley has no interest in litigating with her daughter and her son-in-law. She didn't raise those issues because she didn't want to raise those issues. The only reason that we even raised the unjust enrichment claim was because if the court were to determine, you know, the Luth, there wasn't a contract, there was some promissory estoppel, well, let's look at the overall equities of this situation. And the overall equities of this situation are that the Luths had access to this property for several years. The evidence came in through the Luth's own testimony as to the reasonable rental value of this property, We presented in Exhibit 46, the reasonable rental value based on USDA's own documents for cropland and pasture land in Frontier County. The value of the land that they had access to is $719,000. That's the actual value of the rental usage of the property that they received. The equities of this situation certainly would weigh in favor of Mrs. Lashley agreeing to forego $719,000, knowing that her daughter and her son-in-law couldn't afford it. They were famously unsuccessful at farming, yet Mrs. Lashley allowed them to stay on the land. And to count that against her would simply be inappropriate. For Mr. Lewis to say that Norma Lashley then kicked them off the land in 2018 or 19 is not supported by the record. Norma Lashley realized there was a big problem. We need to figure something out. My daughter just stole over $200,000 from me. I'm clearly not going to, she's not going to inherit from me anymore. I need to hire a land manager. She did that. The land manager wrote the Lutz a letter and said, listen, you're behind on your rent. You pay $156,000 that you're behind on rent right now. You can stay on the property. They didn't. They had, the letter went out in August. They had until the upcoming February to make that payment. They didn't make the payment. They were removed, just like any other tenant. And that leads me to a point on promissory estoppel. One of the elements of promissory estoppel is that it did cause action or forbearance. What action or forbearance happened here? The Luths wanted to farm. Their mother, Dana Luth's mother, let her farm. I would ask the court to rely on its experience in all the ag cases you must have heard, all of the estate cases that you've heard. How often is a tenant allowed to stay on the land when they don't pay rent? The Luths simply didn't take any action based on Norma Lashley's generosity. They continued to fail at farming. That's not a promissory estoppel basis. That's not a promissory estoppel. That doesn't support the promissory estoppel argument. And then the third element is injustice can only be avoided by enforcing the promise. Again, the Luths have had $719,000 worth of access to this farm ground. And now they want $610,000 returned, and they want to stick Norma Lashley and Lashley Properties with $1.3 million in debt. That is not justice. They certainly haven't met the elements of promissory estoppel. We did not appeal the court's ruling on unjust enrichment because we think the court got it right. Mrs. Lashley, Lashley Properties, doesn't owe the Luths anything. Okay, then we're not entitled to our unjust enrichment. But if this court were to reverse on either count, then the court has to consider the unjust enrichment claim because it would be very ripe then to consider the value, the benefit that the Luths got from Mrs. Lashley and how that should be used to offset any claim that the Luths bring forward. Seeing no further questions.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Was there any time left for rebuttal? All right. Very good. Thank you all for being here. Appreciate that. Take the case under advisement, and we again appreciate you being here, and you're certainly excused. Thank you. Thank you very much.